just got the popcorn.
This thing had better have hot guys or cool science, otherwise I'm out of here.
Wow, she kind of looks like my ex.
Damn it, Rod. Now I'm going to be sick when she gets naked later.
Lisa, are we supposed to strip? I'm sorry. It really sounded like she was suggesting that we all strip for money.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to Movies in the Buff, where we strip down, objectify, and thoroughly violate your favorite movies. Here's your team of debauchery, Crazy Carl.
Oh, shit. It's my worst nightmare. I'm turning into you, Rod. Damn it, I'm becoming gay.
Oh, thank you. And Sexy Scully.
So do you know fondue?
Yes. I love cheese and bread. Anyway.
Yes.
And lovely Lisa.
Yes, Mr. Anderson. I'm still power hungry, but now I'm German.
What's the difference?
Oh!
Oh! Anyway.
Let's start reviews from Germans.
Hey, wait. No. He's gone from being a figment of a computer's imagination to being a figment of Stan Lee's imagination.
Oh, God. There's a scary spot, too. Yes.
And of course, Ireland is joining us again tonight. Say hi, Ireland. And I am your host, Rod.
Ireland, say fuck off, Dad.
Hey. It's a good thing he can't actually hear you.
It almost sounded like you said it anyway.
I know, it sounded like he tried.
Yeah. Anyway, and in case you haven't guessed, tonight we're buffing Captain America, the first Avenger.
Well, Scully is buffing Captain America. The rest of us are talking about the movie.
Mm-hmm. Seriously.
No, I'll help her buff.
Anyway. I will share the oil with you, Lisa. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of oil, has anybody, I know Scully has, but have either of y'all gone by and done our Facebook poll?
No.
Which Marvel hunk you want to see topless? Just for the guys, I threw in Black Widow, of course.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, obviously I voted for that one. All right, so anyway, in Marvel Superheroes Slugfest, Steve Rogers volunteers for a secret experiment in World War II after being deemed unfit for duty. Transformed into a super soldier, Captain America... He takes on the Nazi-created counterpart Red Skull and the evil Hydra. That's actually like the best synopsis Netflix has ever given me.
Yep, starring Hugo Weaving, Tommy Lee Jones, and Fireboy.
Chris Evans.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Brings up an interesting question. What happens when they do the inevitable Avengers meets the Fantastic Four? Are they going to like revamp Fantastic Four again?
I think that at this point they would have... I think at this point they're forced to revamp Fantastic Four just simply based on how bad those movies were.
Well, the Human Torch died. They killed him off.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like maybe a year ago, almost now.
Yeah,
so,
in the comics.
Yeah, they replaced him with Spider-Man for the Fantastic Four now,
which is now called Future Force.
Yes.
Well, you know,
they didn't want to change the initials on everything.
Captain America also died in the comics. He got shot by a sniper.
So, yes.
Which, I mean, out of all the ways he could have gone down, honestly. Really?
Yeah.
As long as they don't do the Avengers versus Marvel, I'm good. Like, the whole X-Men versus
X-Men
Avengers,
versus
that was... God, really.
Yeah.
Bad.
I can barely keep the two straight.
I always... in my mind, and I know this isn't... I know this isn't canon... But in my mind, there are two Marvel universes. There is the X-Men, and then there is the rest of Marvel's cadre. Like, those two should exist in two separate universes.
You
know the worst part is? There's about half a dozen Marvel universes out there.
I know that, but that's the big break in my mind. Those two, like the X-Men and... Their villains and storylines should never intersect the rest of Marvel's superheroes and supervillains.
Well, you got to think about the fact that for at least a short time, I don't remember how long, but for at least a short time, X-Men or Wolverine was one of the Avengers.
I know. And it's mm-hmm. Wolverine's one of those characters that it can move anywhere. I mean, he can go anywhere and do anything. He's not because
they put enough money into that one.
Well, no, he's not. He is not tied up in the X-Men the way the rest of the X-Men are.
Sorry, a really nice image of him tied up just popped in my mind. And I was like, oh, thank you. Thank you, Carl.
Yeah, now I'm doing that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Back into this Captain America, so we don't get too much sidetracked.
Well, I do just want to make the statement, though, that Wolverine was originally from the Hulk comics, not the X-Men comics, just for the record.
Yeah.
And eventually became one of the X-Men. Okay, so moving on. Okay. Hey. Yes, I know, it's Captain America. Anyway.
That's who Ireland wants to be for Halloween, and when he grows up.
Actually, Halloween, he's going as Iron Man, just for the record.
Oh.
But, yeah. He's saying
Iron Man. Drunk coke addict who womanizes. That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Oh! Anyway. Okay, so moving on into our first scene, you've got them finding him in the snow. Okay, moving on, just like they did. That was like the shortest preface scene ever.
And it was well done.
It was well done. And that's what I liked about it, is it was short enough that it didn't draw out like most of your prefaces do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, Rod, you're going to need a bigger crane.
Now, what I want to know, though, is when you break out of the ice and all that and you wake up and everything, and then you see Tony Stark standing there and, like, one of your closest friends was Howard Stark, does that not get weird at any point?
When he doesn't actually see Tony Stark in this movie.
No, not in this movie, no. But eventually you've got to just surmise that he did.
Yeah, I think they met off camera in between Captain America and the Avengers. Because it seems like in the Avengers they had met.
Yeah, that's what they kind of played that out. Mm-hmm. So moving on, anyway, then you get the 90-pound weakling.
Yeah, and
wait, I missed something there.
Seriously, that was really well done.
Oh my god, that blew my mind.
The head on a different body bit was really disturbing to me. Like,
really disturbing. Well, to
me, it looked like a bubblehead.
Well, to me, it worked. I mean, like, it was seamless to me. The only thing that I had a problem with this time is I was noticing his voice, and his voice really does not fit his body at the beginning of this movie.
I agree with that to a certain extent. But just the visuals. I mean, the visuals in this whole movie were amazing anyway.
Mm.
But the way that just looked was, it blew my mind. Mm. Especially being such a fan. I've been a fan of Chris Evans since he first broke out on the scene in Not Another Teen Movie. I know, you're going to give me crap, but that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, seeing going from there to here, and the weird part is, this whole movie, all I could think about was his character in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
I haven't seen it yet.
What's that?
I have not seen Scott Pilgrim yet.
You not?
No.
Okay, well, in Scott Pilgrim versus the World, he's basically this action star douchebag, right? So, yeah. I guess that makes sense.
So, but, well, it's the character from Fantastic Four then. Got it.
It's worse.
Oh.
But, like, he's sitting there and he's, like, saying his line while they're filming. He's like, you better step away from her, and then you're going to stop breathing, or something like that. And he's like, then he looks over the crowd. He's like, I'm talking to you, Scott Pilgrim. And all I could see was this scene going on over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
It really killed some of this movie for me. I'm not going to lie.
Mm.
But moving on. I do like the World's Fair scene.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody else back me up on that one?
Yeah, I liked that.
I like the fact that you get introduced to the Stark character, and
mm-hmm.
their introduction to him is more human than to Tony Stark. So it sort of shows that, you know, Howard Stark, his great-grandfather was not, he was really smart, really intelligent, but, you know, was human, couldn't always get everything working exactly the way he wanted to. There were certainly some traits that he passed on to his son, but it sort of shows how much more intelligent the son ended up being than the father.
Mm-hmm. However, from if you remember Tony Stark in the early, at the very beginning of the first Iron Man movie, he passed a lot of traits on to his son.
Yeah.
And how?
I mean, that apple did that. That apple not only didn't fall far from the tree, it fell off and rolled closer.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. I'm pretty sure at one point Tony Stark would have gotten away with saying, "I did say years."
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys caught this. I don't know how much classic or pulp science fiction you guys have gone back and actually looked at or read.
Oh, the car?
No, not the car. Just the whole feel of this movie. They really managed to capture the whole pulp feel of the original Captain America.
Yeah.
I mean, this...
Yeah.
To me, pulp science fiction is to the 40s what steampunk is to the Victorian period. You know, it's that same almost period feel. Yeah. And this really, this felt authentically pulp to me. And I really appreciated that.
Yeah. I agree with everything you just said and have nothing further to comment on it. I mean, that's just one of those things, I guess.
It's the same feeling that I get when I watch, what was it? Oh, crap. The one with Angelina Jolie. Sky Captain.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's that same Pulp Fiction feel.
Especially The Rocketeer is a great.
There you go. That's another good one. That's another good one. And, you know, it's that same feeling that you get from watching all these. I mean, you get the things that are, you know, they're way out there and over the top and bigger than life because that's how Pulp Fiction was.
They're a very big band.
Yeah.
One of these days I'm actually going to have to watch Rocketeer.
You haven't seen that yet?
I need to go back and watch it again. It's been years since I watched it.
It came out when I was like 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You all three have another week to pick. So there you go. Put it on one of them weeks.
I don't know that it's streaming.
Rod, you and I are about the same age, and I've still seen it many, many times.
Yeah, but you'd have to understand my family.
Yeah, that's all right. I had to be forced to watch Pajama Games, so Rocketeer was much preferred.
Nobody heard that. Yeah.
Nope.
I said, is that like Hunger Games, only porn?
Oh.
What? No, God. God, no, it's a musical.
All right, drink and...
and move on.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have the... Oh, yeah, then he goes to sign up again.
Mm-hmm. And meets the doctor.
Yes. The Jewish-German doctor, who has a very good sense of humor.
Yeah, I love him.
He wasn't Jewish.
Yeah, that's why he left.
No, he
well, other than the fact that he was a scientist, but yes, no.
He worked for the Fuhrer.
Yeah, he did. Well, he had theories of how to actually...
Yes, if you guys remember your history, sometimes the Jewish would hide the fact they were Jewish.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But...
Even in the United States, they were not popular.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I never got the feeling that he was a German Jew. I just got the feeling that he was a German scientist... who wasn't in line with the Nazis and so, you know, took off.
Either way, he was a defector for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That one I can agree with you on.
Yeah. Beyond that, he picks out Steve Rogers and throws him into boot camp, which is the worst. I mean, what was the point of this boot camp?
It was funny as hell.
Yeah, it was funny, but it's the worst.
Other than that.
Aside from being the first of their montages... They weren't necessarily going through boot camp. They were doing evaluations on them to pick who was going to be the test pilot for the Captain America program.
Fair enough. I did like the there were two scenes that I remember specifically in the. Or I'm sorry, no, three scenes I remember specifically in the boot camp. The original argument. Excuse me. Sorry. Between Tommy Lee Jones and the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Stop faking it.
That's what he said, but...
anyway. Then I remember the flag situation. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was that. Awesome.
It was tropey as hell, but it was good. Yeah. It was well done.
I've actually heard on several high schools, like, that's been done before. So yeah. It was very cool to see it done in a movie where it's like you hear all the stories from, you know, your friends who joined the military, from, you know, that really horrible high school, you know, gym teacher you always had. It's just nice to see it done in a movie.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the grenade scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where he proves that he's better than the rest because he jumps on the grenade instead of away from it.
He's still skinny.
It was awesome. But beyond that, you know.
Yeah, I think he's about the same size as somebody we know, Carl.
Yeah. About the same size as my brother, except my brother's taller.
Yeah.
I don't know what the name of the guy is whose body they CGI'd his head onto, but good God, that guy's tiny.
He's probably a jockey. Skinny. He's probably a jockey. He probably does horse racing. Those guys are tiny and scrawny, but a little bit buffer than that by far.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding, Carl. When I met you, you were the skinny.
He's right. You were.
Yeah. I was also not that tall. Or not that short, rather.
That's true. Well,
oh, my God.
What?
Sorry, I just looked at the trivia. The guy they originally chose to direct, that Marvel Studios originally chose to direct this, was going to make it a buddy comedy.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What are they going to
do? So instead they let him direct Iron Man.
There you go.
Really? So here, you can have Iron Man. You want to do a comedy? Here.
You're going to do a buddy comedy out of Captain America. Do me a favor. Go to your bathroom. Find your plunger. Take it to the end that you actually put in the toilet to plunge and shove that up your ass. And don't stop until you feel thumb. Anyway. Sorry.
It's not. He passes the test, so now they get to pump him full of drugs.
Yep.
In so the most sci-fi way possible.
Yeah. Okay. And who doesn't love the whole setup? It's like Weapon X program setup.
Yeah.
Did nobody else get that feeling?
I kind of did. I mean, it was, you know, again, it was one of those Pulp Fiction feeling setups for me.
I think they just couldn't make up their mind as to how they wanted to make this happen. So they just did everything from injections to big bright lights, put them in a coffin, you know, crank them full of electricity like Frankenstein. I'm like, you guys can't pick one, so you just went with all of it, didn't you?
It was radiation.
The radiation. Well, no, the power flickering issue because they had to fuel this thing.
What in the world is Vita rays?
It's a made-up word. It's technically it technically translates to life radiation, or the radiation of life.
Essentially, right. Something other
so
than camera rays.
Are we expecting somebody to say it's alive?
Vita is technically the essence of life, is what the word means.
Essentially, what it is they come up with another word because they already used gamma rays.
Hmm.
But
I really need to stop reading the trivia for this. Did you know Will Smith was in early talks for the role of Captain America?
That would not be good.
Yeah, no.
It's like,
what?
Like Will Smith was originally slated to play Neo. In,
what?
I buy that better.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to hear the short list?
No, I've read it.
No, we're done.
It's long.
Moving on with the actual Captain America cast.
Yep. When Hottie comes out of a coffin.
No, basically,
and
yeah.
Haley goes to touch his chest and refrains. I'm like, I wouldn't have refrained.
Yeah, no, there's been no way I could have refrained.
I got the impression that she didn't touch him because she knew that as soon as she did, she'd start dripping on the floor.
Yeah. No, it's you can't just touch it. Yeah. He's like a Pringle. Once you start, you just can't stop.
Oh. Ireland found his
fault. Oh my God. No.
Oh, jeez. Anyway.
I'm not listening except for, I'll be back in a minute.
Scully will be in her bunk.
But seriously, this room, from the second I saw it, did anybody see Wolverine Origins?
Yes.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Okay, when they did the weapon X insert, like, injections and all that, that was the feeling I got about this room.
Yeah, kinda.
Anyway.
I don't think Wolverine was in New York City at the time.
Yeah. You don't know that.
Oh, and...
Actually, I think.
Yeah. He's in Alaska.
That was one of the pulp elements of this movie that bothered me. The giant base hidden behind the antique shop in Brooklyn.
Oh, that was... Yeah.
It bugged me. Like, it's again, it's a pulp fiction tropey element. But in this... And, like, I liked most of them, but this one just bugged the piss out of me. I don't know why this time.
New drinking game. Every single time Carl says trope.
I thought that's been a rule. I wonder if I've been getting so shitty lately. Anyway.
However.
Oh, yeah, the good doctor gets shot.
Yes, they set off a bomb.
I would like to go back to one thing. In reference to Carl's, he didn't like the hidden bunker. I do like their code phrases. If you didn't know they were supposed to be code phrases, you wouldn't have known.
I mean, it worked for what they were doing, but at the same time, the whole code phrases and all that thing. Yeah. I could have done without that whole scene.
The pass and response thing is, again, it's one of those overdone things.
Yeah.
He found a new way to say it.
Anyway.
We got to test out the new merchandise.
Yes.
Write that test down.
Drive. Test drive.
Ritz a little bit and stuff.
And who likes the fact that he's outrunning this taxi barefoot?
Yeah.
Yeah, his feet should have been really cut up bad because the streets of New York City then and now haven't improved at all. I'm pretty sure the same class is down there.
In the town I live in, I won't go out and run in the streets barefooted. There's no way I'd do it in Brooklyn. That would just terrify me.
Yeah.
Play with it over there. Yeah. Sorry.
I love the kid. The kid was the best. The kid that gets taken hostage, shoved in the water, and he's
like, "Go get him! I can swim!
Go get him! I can swim!" Like, thank you, for being.
And then
a
he gets credit
realistic.
For saving him.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the killing the cyanide too. That was so. Old.
Yeah.
You do get
that's overdone.
Yeah.
You do get the first variation of the Captain America shield.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The car door.
Loving it.
And speaking of versions of Captain America, I really liked how they managed to work in, what, like three of his early costumes?
Yes.
Into this? Like, yeah. And they did them in order, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they did. But then, of course, you know, they decide, oh, we can't make any more. Well, we're just going to send you to a lab and figure out how to make more now.
That's because Tommy Lee Jones never liked the idea of using him for the first one in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah, 90-pound asthmatic. Remember?
With a history of diabetes, his brother had diabetes or something was what it said on the health sheet at the very beginning. Yeah. It's like this long list of what everybody died from. Like, holy hell.
No, it was a long list of everything he had, I thought, right?
And hereditary.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, you know, he decides, I'm going to go be on TV. And then they start doing the Captain America show, which is funny because that was actually in the original comics. And they actually did the Captain America show back then and stuff like that.
The war bond things? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about if it was actually to sell war bonds or not. Probably.
Probably,
I do remember reading something about the fact that they're... that dressed up as Captain America and did this specific show.
Mm-hmm. Well, Captain America was originally, you know, created before we joined World War II as, you know, an American superhero to fight the Nazis.
Yeah.
And he was specifically a pro-war character.
Which is funny, considering how he died.
Mm.
opposing a war.
He didn't die in this movie.
No, not in this movie. But,
no, or the Avengers.
Or the Avengers, no. No, this was in the comics. But anyway, moving on. So he starts knocking Hitler out, and that's awesome and all.
For varying definitions of awesome.
I'm with Carl on that one. It was like, there's not enough anything to this.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I refer to this as the bad montage.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a quote that is later in the movie. Can we go back to the girls now?
Yeah. Well,
I just did not like that when he started knocking out Hitler.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so typical for that time, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that kind of a thing was just, like, wasn't tasteless. Whereas now it's like that's pretty bad.
However, if I'm not mistaken, is it this montage where we get Stan Lee's cameo?
No. Okay. That one's much later on. So he does the thing, and he's doing the show on the front line. So this is like that, you know, Good Morning Vietnam kind of throwback.
It's the USO shows.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's doing it for the 107th right after they got hit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so they're just not into it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's just bring out the girls, and that's all they want. I'm like, why did you put a dude in front of them at all? They don't care.
It cracks me up. The guy that, you know, gave him so much shit back in Basic is the one that's yelling at him now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, really? Did this have to happen? Is this convenient? Anyway.
Well, I did not realize that it was him that was heckling him the most, and I didn't catch him until the... later on when they come back to the 107th.
Oh, really?
I saw him then because he comes out of the tent.
But I do have a question. Going back to the Stan Lee thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's actually later.
Which one was he? Because I did not see him.
He was a general. Later. Yeah.
Yeah, it was after he, you know, the next section of this is he goes back, saves his buddy, and comes back. He gets an award. And
oh, that's
when
right.
He's supposed to be receiving it is when Stan Lee's
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah. Like,
I do
remember him now.
Yep.
Because Dow Stanley talks in his movies.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what I could not. I remembered him being in uniform, and I remembered him saying a line, but I could not remember what the line was.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I remember.
Don't make me completely. I was going to say something. Oh, yeah. Going back to the rescue scene.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I really ever remember about this scene, with exception of the massive, awesome battle between Hydra and the escapees,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, is that, you know, no one can beat America attitude, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, well, it wasn't all, they weren't all Americans, but yeah.
That's,
yeah, there was.
Actually, as far as I know, they were.
No.
Nope,
no,
French,
there was that one
Scottish, and British. The French was the explosions expert.
Mm-hmm.
The American who went to Harvard, who studied German and French.
It wasn't Harvard, it was Howard.
Howard, sorry, my bad.
That's okay. I thought it was funny because I was expecting it to be Harvard, and I'm looking at the, I'm watching the subtitles, and it says Howard, and I hear him say it, and I'm like, huh, weird.
Yeah, no, because, yeah, your brain is expecting Harvard, and every single time, that's what you the translation.
Yeah.
When they're escaping out, he is, translating the German instructions on how to operate the vehicle.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, you've got to remember the Asian guy's also from America.
Yeah. But
he is.
San Diego.
There's a
yeah.
Scotsman and the Frenchman.
Mm-hmm.
See, now, was Dum Dum Scott? I thought he was American also.
I think he is American. He looks Scottish, but yeah.
Yeah, he looks Scottish, but I think
I could have swore he had a Scottish accent, too.
It
and
came
he
and went.
Said a lot of very, very commonly said UK phrases versus the US phrases.
I bet
the gap.
Yeah, I bet he was actually. I bet he was a British soldier, and he may have been Scottish descent. But yeah, his accent came and went.
Yeah.
Which is weird because that guy's actually a really good actor.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
yes, he is.
I loved him in Walking Tall, for the record.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Hulk talking in my ear, and I can't get rid of him. I've tossed him across the room. Iron went and got him and brought him back. I can't get rid of all.
Don't make him angry.
It's very distracting.
You wouldn't like him when he's angry.
That's my secret. I'm always angry. Oh, wrong movie. Anyway.
Yes, we are on another movie.
Actually, no, we're wrong. He is American. He was born in Boston.
Thought so. Yeah. That's what he says. He was born in Boston.
Yeah.
Maybe in this movie he was supposed to be.
No, he was born in Boston, but joined the British Army before the U.S. Joined the British Army to fight the Nazis.
Which explains his appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Makes so much more sense.
Yeah. He's actually a reoccurring character. He's a member of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I knew that. But
yeah.
Anyway, S.H.I.E.L.D. hasn't formed yet. Let's go back to Captain America.
You want to bet?
Can we? Can we go back? No, let's go back to S.H.I.E.L.D. No, let's go back to Captain America. Captain America is much hotter.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Remember, you didn't even vote for him, by the way, Scully.
No, because this movie, the reason I like this movie, you actually get to see him without a shirt on all the time, which is awesome. Better yet, when he is wearing a shirt, it's skin tight.
And it's raining, which helps.
Oh my god, I know.
But anyway, okay, let's reel it back in. Let's reel it back in here. Put your clothes back on.
Yeah, because we haven't gotten to Natalie Dormer's cameo.
Wait, which one's that?
She's the blonde in the bomb shelter in London that plants one on him. Yes. You know who that actress is, don't you?
No, I don't.
Natalie Dormer is the chick who played Anne Boleyn in The Tudors and plays Marjorie Tyrell in The Game of Thrones. And oh my god, as a blonde, she's you know, pretty cute in this movie. In her natural brunette, my god, this chick is a knockout.
Apparently, she's also a mezzo soprano singer.
So yeah. Kind of,
yeah, I've not seen either of those shows for the record.
You're missing.
Private Lorraine. Anyway, and then you do have the bomb shelter scene, which.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we did kind of breeze over some of my favorite conversations, which is on the plane, where you find out that, you know, Stark is the best civilian pilot in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of funny. And then you also find out that Stark and what's her name, Fondue.
Yes.
God, I love that whole "what is fondue" scene.
Yeah, it's just sit there to show that yeah, it's the same kid.
Yeah,
he has no idea. He's like New York, born, raised, never been out of it. Doesn't know what any of this stuff is.
Yeah, and he's just a guy from Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then you have the fact that he kisses the girl and gets caught and apparently has no problems now finding a partner, as she says.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's also gotten, I guess, not bigger in his maturity. Like, after that whole going out and rescuing people and coming back and in the bunker, you see him as a mature adult, like a grown man, as opposed to this young kid who's going out and doing wild and crazy stuff. Now he actually like develops tactics behind everything. He develops that small squad group of specialized people, and he grows up. Like,
can
at that
talk
point,
about this trope for just a second? This whole going through, and I have to make my own group of all these ragtag motley crew people instead of using the highly trained group that you're offering to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know it is.
I admit it's a trope.
It's not that I hate it. It's just kind of, you know.
There's a reason for it though, and the reason for it is the way the Special Forces units were born, and they were, you know, they were the dregs. Special Forces originally was where they transferred people that couldn't get along in other military units. And that's how the Special Forces actually came out, which is why you get that trope.
Fair enough. I do have to point out that there is a sequel to this movie coming out.
Yay.
Which will star Scarlett Johansson, Chris Evans, Samuel L. Jackson, and possibly you'll see a new return of Mariah Hill.
Mariah Hill.
The main female interest in this movie.
No.
Agent Carter.
That's not Mariah Hill.
Oh, no, but it's played by Colby Smulders.
No.
Oh, Haley, no, I'm sorry. Colby Smulders is playing Mariah Hill, but it's... Sorry, she was marked as rumored to be in it, but she is also the S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Haley Carter is also rumored to return.
That would be interesting, because it would have to be an old Peggy Carter.
Well, it might just be flashbacks or something.
That could be.
Sebastian
Stan. Flashbacks are...
That's Bucky.
Which is funny because this whole movie, like the timeline, the timestamps they throw at the bottom of the screen, it's like less than a year. Well, it's a year, but it's the short, tiny little time frame, so there's not a whole lot that can happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Sebastian Stan is Bucky is going to become the Winter Soldier. Got it.
The what?
The Winter Soldier.
No idea who that is, but we're not buffing number two. We're buffing number
Fair
one.
Fair enough. Sorry, I was trying to figure too much out at once. So, you're right about the time frame thing. And where were we at in our scene by scene?
I think we are... Oh, we're at the other good montage, which is Captain America and the team take on the bases.
Yeah, I do like
shit
when
blowing up.
Yeah. This has my favorite scene in the whole movie, where he breaks through the gate with the gun and starts shooting from behind the shield.
Yeah. Oh, I like the Frenchman who rolls under a tank and puts a sticky bomb under it.
That was cool, too.
Yeah, because, you know, it's the first time a Frenchman's ever rolled under a tank and done something useful.
Well, we won't go there. Because we don't need any more one-star reviews now from the French.
Oh, but can I tell my favorite story about buying a weapon?
I am a little worried about buying a weapon.
It's not something that happened to me. It was somebody else, but he was buying a used pistol, and the guy pulls it out from under the counter. He goes, "It's in excellent condition. It's almost new, or it's in almost new condition. It was it's like it was owned by a Frenchman. It's never been fired in anger and only dropped once."
Okay.
Wow.
And now 1-star reviews from Patrick Beja.
Anyway, okay, so we're just gonna move
on.
Let's just skip ahead to the train.
Oh, wait! My other favorite scene from this montage: we fought to the last man.
Evidently not.
Boom. Yeah, I do like that. Oh, also, you do find out Captain America has a love for motorcycles, like all major Marvel heroes that aren't the Hulk. Because that would turn out bad.
Okay, now I'm picturing the Hulk on a Harley.
Dude, it'd have to be a chopper, man. Like this massive, laid-back chopper.
Otherwise, it would just look like a monkey having sex with a football.
Oh. Now I'm imagining the Hulk having sex with a football. No, not at all.
New meaning the pigskin.
Oh!
The sad part is it would take the entire pig to make that condom.
You went and made it worse.
Okay, drink. Now that we get that out of our system.
Hey.
Now that we get that out, we're done.
Born an absolute long zucchini.
Oh,
that's all.
No.
No more animal produce.
And see, now my brain just came up with a question. How did they come up with the idea that sheep intestines made good condoms?
It's called haggis.
Think about this.
Haggis. Hold it all together.
I am so good at jumping in you.
What's your fuck? One goat!
There you go.
Anyway. Okay, so moving on. Just for the record, the original condoms by Egyptians were snake skins. Okay, moving on.
Funny.
Let's just skip the train scene here.
Okay.
I'm trying to get to the train scene. Bucky dies. We're done.
Good. Alright.
He becomes the Winter Soldier. Anyway.
Bucky dies, and they capture the lead scientist for the Hydra group. Congratulations.
Dr. Amin Zola.
Which, for the record, I mean, awesome comparison. You know, the fact that he didn't bite the pill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was cool.
Well, you see Zola just barely, you know, going on to save his own, because he's more afraid of dying than he is of, you know, where this is all going.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Zola is not a true believer, and you learn that early, early on.
Oh, yeah. He's obvious throughout the entire movie that he's really like, he's the last one.
He paused before he said, Hail Hydra.
Yeah. Yep.
So that was an obvious clue right there.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I know I keep saying this, but Dr. Amin, what is it? Anim Zola. Is there another pulpier name in this show? Seriously.
Red Skull. I'm just saying. Okay, and just for the record, we have not touched on this fact. Who does not love Hugo Weaving?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Villain, hero, fucking elf. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only person I can think of who does not like Hugo Weaving is Neo.
That's true. That's only because there were so many of them.
And in this movie, oh. I don't think Captain America likes him either.
I think it was because he was the better actor.
That's true.
Especially in the second and third movie that didn't exist.
Moving on, we are not buffing the Matrix.
We're not buffing Lord of the Rings. We're not buffing Matrix. We're not buffing.
Once the Matrix has you, it doesn't stuff. Let go.
It let go. Moving on.
It let go around 2000. So
you took the
on.
Correct pill.
Speaking of pills. Okay.
Finally, do the main battle scene after the train, because he gets really pissed off because he killed his best friend. Damn you. Yeah. My bromance is over. Yeah. I will get you.
What are we going to do? Go knock on the front door? Why not?
Why not? Since apparently that's the only thing we haven't done this entire time, because when you walk in the front door and blow stuff up, that just doesn't make any sense.
Mm. You know,
but they do.
I like it. It worked out.
They knocked on the front door
like
and
that.
Came in the window.
Yeah. And this leads to one of my favorite back and forths in this whole movie. Cut one down. Another head will grow. Or two more will grow. Boom. Let's go find two
and
more.
Two more.
I loved it. That was the wittiest.
And Agent Carter immediately finds one more.
Yes.
I just loved it. I mean, it was definitely one of the driest scenes in this whole movie.
Yeah, it was perfect Tommy Lee Jones. Tommy Lee Jones, I feel like that character was written specifically for him.
I don't know, but it was the best casting, I have to say.
Yeah, and if that character wasn't written specifically for him, then he definitely took a lot of liberties with the script. Because everything out of his mouth was a Tommy Lee Jones line.
Captain Phillips, which in this movie he was Colonel Phillips, apparently. But Captain Phillips was the original person who recruited Steve Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
In the comics. Mm-hmm. So, that's just one of... That character's been around for a very long time.
The final scene.
Yep, final scene. You have the cool chase scene, car versus plane.
Yep. And Nitro's in a 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's
a little bit
really
of
there.
Gone in 60 seconds. Flash here.
So just out of curiosity,
who wanted to see? Oh shit! Vin Diesel look over from the sidelines and go, "Too soon, kid."
Oh, just out of curiosity, here's what I want to know: what's more exciting, stealing cars, having sex, or killing Nazis?
I'm gonna have to say with
no.
Gone in 60 seconds reference. Anyway. Sorry.
Yeah. Kind of like the high heels and pink underwear.
There you go.
Now
so, he catches the plane.
Yep.
And he fights Red Skull and wins, and get the introduction to the
You missed the whole getting off the plane and then getting back on again.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was.
He got shoved off the plane, and then he decided he wanted to get back on the plane. All of this is in air. While he is still flying.
Because he's going to pilot one of those bomb planes without the seat.
Yeah, that's something that I didn't get. He sits down and he's the same level as the guy when the seat was in there.
Uh huh.
It's like, really?
I think it's actually on IMDb as one of their goofs. They were like, "Yeah, we kind of accidentally put the chair back in. Whoops.
Yeah,
didn't mean to do that."
Yeah.
But anyway, he gets back on the plane. fights Red Skull in Zero G.
Yeah.
And, that was awesome, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And we do get the first introduction to the Tesseract. This might be important in future movies. Who knew?
Yeah, because the Tesseract's been being used throughout this whole movie.
Yeah. But this is the first time we actually see the cube that's not a fake cube.
Mm. No. Well, no. Yeah. No, we've seen it before.
No.
Because he's always got it in that metal holder. But this is the first time we've seen it used for its actual purpose.
Yeah.
This is the first time we've seen it touched by human hands. And boom, Red Skull's gone.
Yep, he evaporates and you gotta land the plane. Pull up, damn you, pull up!
Anyway.
No, push down.
Which is funny, because everybody else noticed that autopilot was still working.
Yeah.
I'm like, if autopilot still works, then piloting still works.
Well, no, he was intentionally trying to crash the damn thing.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was forcing it down so that it wouldn't make it to its target.
That's right.
Yes, because blowing up New York City is a bad thing.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh. Yeah.
Was it really?
Mm-hmm. And what's really funny about this is, once again, I'm going to reference the comics, but in the original comics, this was a atomic warhead that was launched from Normandy, I believe.
Yeah, it was a single thing. It wasn't very impressive. So
yeah, it really wasn't at all.
Really
he, like, jumps on it as it launches and takes it, like, dismantles it in midair and then lands somewhere in the ice cap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's...
I want to go back and make one statement about fighting in Zero-G. Mm-hmm. Did anyone else get the impression of little boys fighting on the schoolyard during that?
Yes.
I think, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you got to remember how hand-to-hand martial combat worked in this time period.
Mm-hmm.
I was really impressed with how advanced some of it was in this movie, because in that time period, martial combat didn't really exist.
Yeah.
Well, it did, but it was being used by the other side.
And this is probably on record the first time any human beings ever experienced zero gravity, really, because they've never really gotten to that altitude before.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Mind you, until Valkyrie... there was not jet propulsion on a plane. They were still propellers going. You
yep.
couldn't go that fast. Sound barrier still exists. Never been broken.
Fair enough. But then, of course, he bottoms out the plane in the ice caps, and they lose contact with him. Everybody's all sad.
There's this really sweet conversation between him and his girl. That was very cute.
Where he's like, I'm going to be there. And it was. I mean, it was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
It was tastefully done. It wasn't overdone.
Yeah.
You know
right.
I
mean? And it gave the last line of the movie so much more punch.
Yeah. It really did. But then he wakes up and the baseball game's on that he'd already seen. And who makes that freaking
mistake?
Why? I know. You guys are supposed to be super intelligent. You should know not to play something that was like 3 years after he had gone missing and presumed dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was, I mean, you know what they say about military intelligence.
But these aren't the military, this is S.H.I.E.L.D. There's no excuse there.
There's still an offshoot of the military.
Yeah.
So, military intelligence, oxymoron.
Oh, and can we mention how Times Square, like the very last shot, had to have been... the literal, like, every marketing campaign, they got so much money from all of these different companies to be able to do that.
Oh,
yeah. Paid for the movie, right there.
Mm-hmm.
All those really big explosions, paid for by this scene.
Yeah.
And of course, and I realize that this is Lisa's quote, so I'm not going to say it, but of course you find out that he's all upset because he lost his girl.
Yeah. Yep.
No, actually, you can say it. That's not my quote.
Oh, it's not? Okay, so, you know, he says, is everything all right, Captain? He says, I had a date.
Yep.
And then the movie ends.
Yeah.
Of course, not without a cameo by Nick Fury, which has been in every Marvel movie in the last, like, 5 years.
Yeah, for a reason.
What the hell, man? How long does it take to set up the Avengers? Nah, I'm just kidding. I loved it. Thank you. Anyway, so now we're moving on. Wow. Roundtable's over.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's go into Best Buffed. Lisa, you want to start us off?
We're doing Best Buffed, right?
Yep.
I've got two. One I'm going to do with best authenticity. Say that word for me.
Authenticity.
Yes, for a non-period piece.
Can you explain that a little bit?
Meaning it's not supposed to, meaning it's not intentionally supposed to be a period piece, but it was very authentic 40s nonetheless.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Most interesting use of blue lightning.
Okay.
What was that one we just saw? It was like one season of it where these aliens came down.
Falling Skies?
No. Oh. And they introduced blue lightning as a new energy source.
Oh, V.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They used blue lightning, which is the same exact color as what the Tesseract was giving off. Mm. Which is why I said it was the most interesting use of it.
Okay. apparently Scully is just jumping at the opportunity to do hers. So.
What did I do?
Oh, I thought you were just coughing. Sorry, that must have been Lisa.
No, that was me.
Oh, okay. Did you have any more, Lisa?
Nope.
Okay, Scully?
All right, well, I had the Wayne's World Award for paying for the movie in one shot. That was such a callback. I also had an award for the most explosions. Literally, I couldn't even think of a movie that remotely came close, other than maybe watching a full minute of Las Vegas buildings going down. Really couldn't think of a movie that had any more explosions in it than this one. Or bigger ones, for that matter.
Mm. That's hot.
Well, yeah, no, are you kidding? It was actually exciting. I liked it, but
yeah.
There was one point where it's like, there's explosions. That's where they just put lava as the CGI at the bottom of the pit. I also have the Titanic Award for Man and Propeller.
And whoa, yeah. Was that quick.
That was awesome.
I mean,
it was great.
Seriously, who got dusted? Who got dusted faster? Anybody who got shot with the Hydra weapons? Any vampire in any Buffy show or movie, or dude who went through the propeller?
I think that's a three-way tie.
Yeah.
Oh. Speaking of three ways, my final award. Wait till you hear the award is you get an award for the best S&M slave costumes I've seen in a very long time.
Oh, that's SS, but good.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. That was really weird.
Those costumes were really weird.
What are you referring to?
The Hydra costumes.
Yeah. Every one of them, every variation of them was so like, yes, master.
Okay.
It was disturbing.
Did you ever see the movie, the one with Hugh Jackman? What's the name of it?
Which one?
You just put Hugh Jackman and S&M in the same theory there? I'm a little weirded out.
Hey, you were the ones talking about tying him up earlier.
I know, that's why I can't say it's not a bad idea, but
Hey, listen. Van Helsing.
Oh.
Yes.
Did y'all see Van Helsing? Okay, do you remember the little guys that were in Dracula's lair?
No.
You don't remember them?
Yeah, I do.
The little guys with the S&M costumes. This is what happens when they grow up.
Ah.
And they get a whole lot more left.
She knows what I'm talking about. But it's the exact same costumes, only taller.
Uh-huh.
A lot more leather.
Yeah. Anyway.
Apparently they don't go to Toys R Us to shop.
I do not want you to explain that one.
I don't either.
It's the one talking about growing up.
All right. Those are all my awards, too.
All right. Carl.
I am giving Steve Rogers the best CGI of a person award. Because, seriously, that was awesome.
Way better than Smeagol.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, anyway. We are not buffing the rings.
And I am giving the Howard Hughes Spruce Goose Award to the Valkyrie. Because seriously, what else is going to compete with that plane?
Am I swinging cod?
No.
That's all I can think of for that one. I'm sorry.
Rod, your swinging cod doesn't compete with pre-injections, Steve Rogers. Come on.
I just died a little.
I'm thinking that Scully and I are going to stay out of that one.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that really is what she said.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, any more?
Nope, those were my two.
Okay. I'm giving Howard Stark's car the Meet the Jetsons award.
Yeah.
Does everybody understand why that one happened?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I am giving the Strike Force, you know, Captain America's Strike Force, the Smelting Pot Award.
The what?
Smelting Pot Award. Because they were from, like, everywhere. There were so many different kinds of people there. It's getting the Smelting Pot.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, and then I just because of, you know, the fact that he knocked out the same person so many times... now this award will be ongoing for really cool knockouts in a movie, the Knocking Out Hitler Award.
200 as, times.
As cheesy as it was, that was awesome. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's all I've got.
All right. Before we move on to Were You Playing With Your Willy, we forgot to do something.
Our like and dislikes, yeah.
And our buff quotes.
I think we've pretty much already established that all of us are hard and or wet for this movie.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe assumption. By the way, I also want to add the Hot Cheese Award.
Yeah, and explain the Hot Cheese Award, but before you do that, I want to point out to our listeners that the and or is because Rod is both hard and wet for this movie.
As he's about to explain the cheese award.
I'm giving it the Hot Cheese Award because of the use of fondue. Because that was an awesome use of fondue.
Mm-hmm. Much better than the one that you came up, that your ex-wife came up with.
Yeah, may she rot in jail. Anyway. Anyway, moving on. Obviously, we've decided that we are respectively hard or wet for this movie, correct?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yep.
Cool. Moving on into buff quotes. Lisa, would you like to start us out?
I don't like bullies. I don't care where they're from.
That's a very Lisa quote.
It really is.
Yeah.
Carl.
If you have something to say, right now is the perfect time to keep it to yourself.
You know, that quote's right up there with, if I need an opinion, I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Or if I want your opinion, I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Anyway. But I like it. I do like it. Scully?
You saved me any of that schnapps. Not as much as I should have. Sorry.
That sounds like a conversation that goes on between you and I. Okay, I have quotes, and only because they're both dedicated to somebody. And Scully didn't use one. So... I'm going to dedicate this one to Carl. I'm not going to kiss you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
Yeah, please don't.
The other one is from Scully that I have to dedicate this to her. Did you, you know, fondue?
Now we need to make
that what
fondue.
We're calling it now.
I know. I'm like, I need to go find out what fondue really is on, like, the Urban Dictionary. It's probably not good.
You know, I really want to put on the back of our Movies in the Buff t-shirts, which I am currently working on prototypes for. I want to put on the back, did you, you know, fondue? But I'm going with the theme of I'm here to strip down, objectify, and thoroughly violate, ...
The top definition on Urban Dictionary for fondue is what Steve Rogers and Tony Stark do late at night.
Nice.
Wow. Okay.
That ain't right at all. All right, so we're out of buff quotes. Where are you playing with your Willy time?
Mm-hmm.
Woohoo!
Yes. Uh-huh.
It's the only plane with his, it's the only plane yes. with his Willy Rod ever gets done.
Okay, so where are you playing with your Willy time? Lisa, would you like to start us out?
When Captain America jumps out of the airplane, what color is the parachute?
Red.
Black.
I'm going to go with white.
Carl Even though I'm right. 90% positive it was Carl. Yeah, I'm like, except I...
Well, I actually was answering red, and then Carl answered it, like, while I was saying it. Yeah. So, came out really weird.
When Dr. Zola and Hydra were testing the Tesseract, just before Hydra says, I didn't come...
Red Skull.
Whatever. Said, he didn't make all his sacrifices, yada, 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 to be, play it safe. What was that machine stabilizing at?
70%.
70%.
Why do I even bother? You're the one seeing my damn question.
I have not.
Was it 20, 30, 40, 70? Was the order?
No, he got to, he went through 60. I remember him saying 60. He's like, and stabilizing at 70. It's like, I did not come all this way to play it safe.
Fair enough. Okay. Scully.
What was, and I cannot pronounce this doctor's name,
We know who you're talking
about. Doctor, no, good doctor. Abraham, duh. whatever. What's his address?
Oh, geez.
Oh,
crap.
79th and something, and I can't remember the something.
I don't remember.
Lisa?
I almost had it, and then you asked. So.
Oh, he actually lives in Queens on 73rd
Street. 73rd
Street.
I was thinking he said 73rd and something, but I couldn't remember. I knew the 70 something.
Okay.
All right.
I'll go a little bit easier on this one. When Captain America Hottie is chasing down the spy, he goes into a pier. What pier number is it?
39.
I had nothing on that one.
Me either.
No, it's pier 13.
Oh.
Okay, here's the thing about movies. If it's in New York, if it's a pier, it's going to be either 39 or 13. I was just guessing one or the other.
Yeah, no, that was why I was like, that was a little bit of a high count.
Yeah, it's always one or the other, though, in every movie. I don't know what's important about those two piers, but anyway. Okay, Carl.
Who found the Valkyrie's wreckage?
Howard Stark.
Russians.
Shield.
Lisa was closest. It's Russian oil team.
Ah.
A Russian oil team called it in.
I remember Howard Stark was going grid to grid for it. I just didn't.
Yeah, he found the Tesseract. Mm-hmm. Okay, and what's the name of the town where the Tesseract is hidden?
Oh no.
Oh, hell.
I don't remember.
I was like, I didn't even write it down because I was like, I can't remember that.
It was someplace in Germany.
I'm going to go with Johannesburg.
Scully, you got anything?
No.
Tonsberg, Norway.
Again.
Yeah. Coincidentally, the same town. A couple hundred years later, but the same town as the that you see in Thor when you see them when you see the Valhallans on Earth or the Asgardians on Earth.
Okay.
Yep. Anyway, that was your two, right?
That was my two.
Okay, then it's my turn, and I still have no points, so obviously I'm not winning. Does anybody have any points? Carl does.
Uh-huh. Carl's got one.
Carl has two.
Carl has two.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
and
so.
And I have one.
And I need specifics here. What was the preferred weapon of Dum-Dum?
How about I ask a different question? Who the hell was Dum Dum?
Dum Dum was the guy with the handlebar mustache.
Yeah.
Bazooka?
I'm gonna go with a Tommy gun.
Lisa?
I'm guessing the tank that he drove away in.
No. The 12-gauge shotgun.
Mm. Oh.
He had it in every scene subsequent of them being released.
Okay.
What was the body style used for the CG car that Red Skull owned?
It was a 40s Oldsmobile.
Next. I had to look this up online, by the way.
It doesn't surprise me.
I'm going to guess.
No, I'm not even going to guess.
I'm not even going to guess. I have no idea. I don't know cars. It was black.
Do you have a guess, Scully?
No, I'm not even going to try.
Okay, well, I had to look up the year model. I knew what body style it was, but it was a 1935 Rolls-Royce.
Strangely enough, isn't that the same car that the Germans trade in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
That's how I was able to find it.
Yeah.
That's actually the only reason why I recognized it when I saw it in the movie.
Yeah.
And then I went and I had to go and look up the year model, and they were comparing that car to the one in Indiana Jones.
Yeah. I like this one better.
I really do, too. But and obviously, this car did not exist during World War II, but that was the body style used as the basis for it.
Yeah.
Okay, so audience questions. Carl's the only one who got anything right. So.
No, Lisa got one right.
Oh, Lisa got one right?
Yeah.
When did Lisa get
yes.
She got the Russians.
Sweet. So we do have a second place.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay. I'm going to go real, real easy on this one. How many legs does the Hydra emblem have?
Okay. And Lisa?
Okay, I am going to apparently play off one of Carl's questions. How many hours went in the beginning of the movie? They say the Russian whatever called this in how many hours ago?
That was also one of my alternate questions. Nice. How many hours from the time the Russians find the Valkyrie until the beginning of the movie?
I would have got that.
Okay. Scully, any questions?
Yep. What did Roger's father and mother die from?
Ooh.
Good one.
Well, what is the only thing that you ever hear him say they died of?
Well, the only thing he honestly says they die of.
All right. Okay, and mine is going to be even easier than Carl's. What was the name of the villain's army in this movie? I just want an answer here, people. We have not got an answer yet. Playing with your willy. Audience questions. Which makes me think that our entire audience is playing with their willy, which good for them.
At least somebody here is.
Does anybody out there want to play with my... Never mind.
Drink!
Oh my god.
Wait, is that in the drinking game? Anytime Rod hits on the audience?
Should be by now.
That's all I'm saying. Alright, so mental debuff. Carl, you won. You get to start us.
Come back to me.
Okay, excellent. Also, I do want to state that... any answers, well, obviously, same prize as always, get you recognized on the air, as well as given proper recording equipment. We'll also get you on the air with us. And very soon, we're going to be starting Movies in the Buff t-shirt giveaways.
Yep.
So, okay, so coming back to Carl later, Lisa, you came in second.
Mental debuff is, I'll be back in a minute while I go debuff.
Giggity. I love it. Love it. All right. So on that note, Scully, let's just keep this flow going.
Yeah, that's flow. That's a good word for it. Wow. If it's not like really hot bod, you just really want to touch, it's explosions. So, I mean, it's just exciting all around.
breathe, Scully.
I know. That's what I'm doing.
Oxygen is important. I promise.
Yeah.
Pass out from it. Well, anyway. Okay, so Carl, we're back to you.
Yep, and I finally got mine. Rod, go ahead and take care of Rod's rants and get rid of the show. I got these two to take care of.
Oh, that ain't right.
Ha.
Oh, Carl just got hit with something.
No, actually, I didn't.
Okay. Anyway, all right, so moving on. Obviously, as Carl said, it's time for Rod's rants. So, and I'm dropping crap. Captain Steve Rogers reporting for duty. I may weigh only 90 pounds and have asthma, but a shot of German Uber steroids will perk me right up. And definitely make sure I can defeat Period Face before... Sorry. Definitely make sure I can defeat Period Face. But just for the record, I'm going to be fashionably late for our date. Like 50 years fashionably late. I want to start with the fact that I fucking love this movie. It makes me feel so proud to be an American, which, given our current national situation, makes it for the second best movie of the last 5 years. I cheered every time he punched Hitler, got hard when he kissed the girl, laughed at Tommy Lee Jones, and fell in love with the voice of Hugo Weaving. I laughed, I cried, I masturbated vigorously. And beyond that, it made me renew my love of Marvel. So thank you, Captain America, for saving us from the Tobey Maguire Marvelverse. And ladies and gentlemen, that is Rod's rants.
Oh.
I stopped after you said getting him up.
What?
I was like...
I didn't hear you.
That's okay. You don't need to.
The audience did.
Or will.
Okay. What are we doing next week? Does anybody know?
The Omen.
For Halloween.
For Halloween. That's right. Next week is Halloween.
Our Halloween episode. Mm-hmm. No, next week is not Halloween. Next week is our Halloween episode.
Oh, episode. Yeah.
And what did we decide on doing for recording the week of Halloween? Because Halloween is the day we record.
I do believe it was... I don't remember.
Okay.
The Avengers.
No, I was wondering it, when we were whether we were still recording on Wednesday or if we were moving it.
We will have to move it, but we'll talk about that after we're not recording. We'll figure that out.
Yeah.
But as for next week, join us for The Omen, where and little kid's mama and whatever.
Hey, look, we finally broke our streak of titles.
The Omen and the Buff?
Doesn't quite work so well.
Yeah. It's for the record, this is the original Omen, correct?
Yes, this is the original.
All right, okay. Yes. So it's not that crappy remake with Julia Stiles, who I really want to do.
It's the original creepy one, you know, when you had to develop film in a dark room.
Yeah. I just can't wait to see the...
Is that why they were called the Dark Ages?
Ha-ha.
Anyway, join us next week for The Omen and the Buff, and until then, keep watching those movies in the buff, because it's just better that way. Good night, folks.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Hey, buffers. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/pages/moviesinthebuff, or search for us on Google+. You can also follow us on Twitter at moviesinthebuff, or you can follow me personally at RodTheGolden.
At Kith Kanan.
At Scully44.
And at Acorna Witch.
And Movies in the Buff is distributed under a Creative Commons attribution.
Non-commercial.
No derivatives.
3.0 U.S. license.